You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, this is the Daily Nationalist. This is being recorded the very early morning of October 15th, 2025. And this is Matthew Raphael Johnson. And it seems incumbent on me to talk about something very important. The Jewish scam of the peace deal that's been signed with Hamas very recently. It is a scam. The Israeli Minister of War, Israel Katz, is already planning on he's already said that once the detainees are free, they're going to smash the tunnels as if they have the power to do that. Many of you know the Israeli state and the Hamas resistance movement. There's been some mediation, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey. October 9th, roughly 2 years and 2 days since the start of this war on Gaza. I think that the role of the UAE in supporting Israel has been outrageous. That's for a separate time. But it has been completely Judaized, at least Dubai has. We have war crimes committed on video. Right now the death toll is at 400,000, at a minimum, 90% of them civilians. But this kind of catastrophe in such a tiny area is almost inconceivable for us who live in the normal world. And yet they have defied everything. Right does prevail over might, doesn't it? Don't you remember the nonsense of total victory and the slaughter of the Arabs and their animals, and we're going to turn this into a casino town, all this now is dead silent. And not just for the Israeli war effort, but Israel and Zionism in general, they're all in trouble. We're talking about a relentless, endless bombardment, siege and starvation going back to 2006. The regime still hasn't achieved any of its goals or political objectives concerning Gaza. And that's how you decide whether a war is won or lost. After 2 years of this, Tel Aviv has failed to subdue Gaza. They fail to dismantle the Palestinian resistance. Hamas has been the leader of the resistance on the Gaza Strip. Despite being Sunni, they do get some Iranian and Hezbollah support. They have been battered, of course. But they are very tightly organized and deeply rooted in national consciousness. They have no problem with recruitment now. This is a victory for nationalism. Remember the vow to erase Hamas? Typical, the symbol of the arrogance of the Zionist occupation. This truce, although it is a scam, does not come from a position of strength. It comes from a position of weakness. Israel, just like its Soviet forebears, deal with believing collective punishment, right? Entire neighborhoods. They bomb hospitals and schools, starving civilians across the country, the territory, I should say. that was designed to break the will of the Palestinians. And yet, they haven't submitted. These families who have been displaced multiple times, they have not left. And it's evolved. It's gone beyond the armed struggle. It's now a worldwide movement. We're talking about daily bombings across this little tiny area. Israel still has failed to free the captives held by Hamas since October 7th. Whether they're actually going to go through with this with the peace deal is another matter. But still, as I said before, every attempt to free them through military means has failed miserably. For the most part, these indiscriminate Israeli bombings have killed many of the captives. What else do they have but negotiations? They were going to push them into the deserts. They were going to send them into Egypt or to Jordan. That's failed too. It doesn't matter if they're sitting in their burned out homes or huts or whatever. They still won't accept defeat. And it seems to me that they've won this with the support of many entities throughout the world, countries and movements. They aren't going anywhere. A few months ago, I talked about Donald Trump's plan, really the low point in his presidency, to occupy Gaza and to build luxury mansions and casinos. Well, that can never happen. Let's collapse under the reality that only a handful of writers, myself, and a few others predicted. Gaza remains defiant. It's intensified global opposition to Israel's Talmudic hatred. Ultimately, that's its source. You can't talk about a greater Israel anymore. It's been, you know, the war itself, local resistance, international scrutiny, investigations by every international body out there, and growing divisions within their own country, including within the IDF, has made any greater Israel thing a total pipe dream. The last 2 years, the world has witnessed, practically on live stream, the slaughter of Palestinians, flattening entire communities as a matter of policy. It's not like this was a mistake that they made, collateral damage. No, this was a matter of policy. They've done the exact same thing in the West Bank, then the same thing in their section of Syria, then the same thing in Beirut. This is the first attempt at genocide that's been live-streamed. Sending these, you know, really fanatical Zionist Jews just to going crazy. The worst aspects of the Trump presidency. It's really tough to deny that Israel is committing endless, a ridiculous list of war crimes. Again, not an aberration. This is military policy. It used to be that Israel acted with impunity. They've been doing this for a very long time. All these writers who all of a sudden act like they're, you know, anti-Zionists or who are criticizing Israel. I say, well, welcome aboard. I've been in fights over this decades ago. I've lost a lot over this. And now it's become fashionable, since no one can deny it anymore, you jump on board. Still, the mainstream media maintains a basic Zionist position. Israel remains isolated. See, Israel and Jews in general have a pathological inability to be introspective. They don't have that capacity. It's always someone else's fault. They're an intensely neurotic people. Israel has lost the war of ideas, and they're having a tough time dealing with it. And Israel at one time dominated social media channels. They spent a fortune with these stupid influencers and spending millions to spread Zionist propaganda about what happened on October 7th and before then. It's failed to convince anyone. I think the only real hardcore base left are these demented Christians, Protestants, that's what I'm looking for, your fundamentalists, those following the lines, you know who I mean. That's what they have left. Whether that's shrinking or not, I don't know. Pentecostals, that's what I meant. But what do Gazans have? It's not like this. Like this, it's like you have two sides here. They're not two governments fighting each other. You have a government fighting, a Starbucks. So there's not two sides. You can't talk about two sides at all. Citizens of Gaza, they have smartphones. They have the courage, the strength of will. They know what the Israelis are. But that was the point of the Hamas attack. This is why I vehemently, one of the first things I wrote when I came back from vacation, of course, everything major happens when I'm on vacation, I wrote my first article that this was not a false flag. A lot of friends of mine were talking about this as a false flag attack. It was not. You would have to be a psychotic to permit something like this to happen. The Hamas invasion was a calculated risk by suffering people who had nothing left. Because of the other things that Netanyahu had done prior to this, it had a receptive audience. All of a sudden you're seeing, Free Palestine. Those things used to be banned from Facebook, if you recall. Not anymore. The discussion now isn't so much even about a two-state solution. It's about a singular, unified Palestinian state. I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. I know I've said this a million times. But the fact that it's now mainstream to attack Israeli policy is something I never thought I'd see. And it goes to show that things can happen so quickly. Things can change so quickly. We have to show our respect to the Palestinian Arabs, 15% of whom are Christians of one variation or another. Now, I want to get into the texts of the, that was first proposed and then signed, the 20-point plan from Donald Trump, which was ridiculous. Even what was actually signed is also ridiculous, but not nearly as bad. Israel's operating from the point of view of weakness. They're losing the war of attrition. They're fighting a war on five fronts. Their desertion problems are massive. One of the things that irritates me is when people say that the death toll in Gaza is like 35,000 or something like that. That really drives me up a wall. No, by now it's about 300,000 plus. I've been through my reasons for understanding that. And yet, still, Gazans remained firm, as much as humanly possible. I'm not sure it could have been done without, and this is a huge aspect of the Hamas invasion of Israel, provoking other anti-Israel powers to action. Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, Iraq, even Pakistan. And Turkey, I should say. Pakistan's a little far away, but they may well take the place of Syria to some extent. This has been all of a sudden a universal issue. It's now shied away from Netanyahu as this right-wing leader, and it's all his fault. All these Jewish groups are coming out of the woodwork. Now it's gone way beyond that now. Israel is a rogue entity. It is isolated. It is besieged. I came across something, and this shouldn't surprise anybody, but, you know, I've cited the Israeli publication 972. And they decided to do an analysis of videos that they used, that they spread on YouTube, even for their own consumption, that were entirely fabricated. And they were created to justify, of course, the war on the Gaza Strip. Several months it actually took to finally, you know, tear these videos down. They analyzed 43 videos. Israeli army over the last 2 years. You know how you could tell when something is AI? Something's wrong with like a foot or a hand or something like that. You see this in some of the videos that they promoted. Especially those depicting the alleged tunnels beneath the Al-Shifa hospital. Or the UN-run school of Gaza. That's not from actual intelligence. You get that anywhere. These pictures could be from Cambodia. They could be from Turkey. The Turkish earthquake. It doesn't matter. Now, we knew this already, but now we have a Jewish organization showing it. And these clips, these videos are published across the Israeli military's Telegram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And they even are connected with press conferences. And they're used as evidence by Pentecostals or Zionist writers and activists in the West. Of course, because they have, you know, so many Westerners have no ability to think critically, they'll see these stupid things. It doesn't make sense. You know, like the ISIS nonsense. I was the first person to expose that ISIS charade. No one else did it before me. It was so ridiculous on its face. But this is what was getting into the international media. In fact, they were even able to interview a few of these people, because these are Jews themselves. And the quote here is they emphasize the aesthetic value of the videos over their accuracy. In other words, they're propaganda. More than half of them contain 3D assets, which were taken from numerous sources. 50 third-party assets were identified, replicated hundreds of times across animations of sites in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, Iran. In other words, they were using videos that had no relation to Gaza. They created videos in hopes that no one was smart enough to notice. You can't believe any video that the Jewish entity gives you as evidence of anything. There's a Palestinian academic at the Robert Gordon University, who, you know, he deals with AI and 3D modeling, Iyad Elian, was shocked by this. And in fact, he was using some Scottish assets for this, you know, from the university. Here's what he said. He said, "Well, this practice aligns with the regime's long history of exploiting others' resources and employing every means possible to promote baseless claims. What's especially troubling, however, is how such fabricated content is uncritically accepted and amplified by mainstream media outlets. Much of the material consisted of outright falsehoods. For instance, the widely circulated animation alleging the Hamas-operated command center beneath the Al-Shifa hospital. No such thing existed. But this claim was used to destroy almost the entire healthcare system of Gaza." Now, you've heard that here many times. But, you know, people see it, a picture, people see a video, therefore it must be true. Then it got to the Scottish lawmakers, one by the name of Patrick Harvey. So this is outrageous. Now it looks like these created and totally invented videos, put together like movies, they're now a core part of an army strategy. This is how you know that they have no foundation. This is the Jewish mind. He didn't say that, I'm saying that. The best part of all of this, in my opinion, the great victory, and I think was Hamas's purpose from day one, the mobilization of other powers in the region. As soon as I got home from vacation, I wrote that on the Hamas war. I did a talk on it and put it on my Patreon page. I don't know where else it went. It was very clear that mobilizing other Islamic powers, the outrageousness of it, was absolutely part of it. Now, I said this before, but now Turkey, who usually is kind of neutral about these kind of things, is vehemently anti-Israel. Now they have a defense. No, this is a NATO country now, right? Now they have a defense agreement with Iran. In fact, one that they said is a model of unity and cooperation. Brigadier General Azizadeh made the remarks during his meeting with the Turkish Minister of National Defense, General Yasir Güler, and Ankara. So that was the level at which this meeting was held. But he was invited. The Iranians were invited to Turkey. Here's what he said. I think it's very interesting. He said, the points of commonality between Iran and Turkey are so vast that the differences appear insignificant in comparison. However, the enemies, our enemies, have always sought to magnify these differences and downplay the commonalities. That's Nasrzadeh. The mere Sunni Shiite divide is not enough when children are being starved. Turkey is now going to be Iran's lifeline. And they're just getting started. This is very recent, by the way. The Zionist regime, with its attacks on Gaza, Lebanon, Yemen, Syria, even targeting Qatar. How many fronts of this war are they going to have? They create the crises, thinking that the U.S. is just either going to ignore it, and they will just pay the money. But now it's very difficult to cover it up. Nasrzadeh said this: with its successive assaults on the countries of the region and the killing of innocents, this child-killing regime has placed itself at the top of the list of the world's most detested regimes in the eyes of the people worldwide. Today, all the countries of the region are unanimous in condemning and confronting the crimes of this accursed regime. It's not just Netanyahu anymore. They tried to use him as damage control. No, people are talking about Zionism now. This was an extremely important meeting. Defense ministers of both countries getting together in Turkey, signing agreements. Russia signing agreements with Iran to supply them with more weapons, which they've been doing, you know, for a long time. They talked about the presence of terrorist groups in the region. We know who they mean. They mean Western-backed groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Iran considers Turkey's security its own, the Iranians said. They have a common border, a small one. I don't know if that's been picked up enough, how huge that is. Now, it's not like the two presidents got together. No, it was the highest-ranking military men who got together, which may be more important. I don't know. Do not underestimate how significant that is. Now, as far as the peace plan itself goes, it's awful. My opinion is, and I think it's the opinion of most people who know a lot about this area, that once the Israeli hostages are released, the genocide will continue, in one form or another. The U.S. has given Israel $22 billion in direct military aid, that is to say, materiel, since October 7, 2023. That's in addition to what they normally give Israel. That pipeline will not be shut down under any circumstance. Israel, of course, will blame everybody else. Will blame Hamas and Palestinians for not abiding by the agreement. Then Washington will immediately accept what they say without criticism, and they'll give the Israelis a green light to do whatever. But to do whatever isn't what it used to be. They've run out of their air defense weapons. Their infantry is exhausted. The desertion is very high. You have guys there who've had like 4, 5, 6 tours of duty. People are leaving the country. Now, Donald Trump's peace plan is probably, of all the various plans that have come and went in the Middle Eastern issue, this one is the stupidest. And you know, we talked about the deal of the century in his first term, how ridiculous it is. If anyone bothered to read it, which unfortunately very few people did, I don't know. I'm like, you know, let's just very quickly go through the White House 20-point plan. At least the points that I think are important. Number one, and this is very important, Gaza will be de-radicalized. Terror-free zone does not pose a threat to its neighbors. In other words, any anti-Israel faction cannot function in Gaza, according to this idea. Despite the fact that it would represent zero people in Gaza. Number two, Gaza will be redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza, who have suffered more than enough, as if that last clause is going to make any difference. Of course, number four is the exchange of hostages and prisoners. Now, the hostages have to be released first, and this is point five, and Israel will release 250 life sentence prisoners plus 1,700 Gazans who are detained and hostages whose remains, and these are dead hostages now, whose remains are released. Israel will release the remains of 15 deceased Gazans. Now, number six is when once they're all returned, Hamas members will commit to peaceful coexistence with Israel and will decommission their weapons. They'll be given amnesty, you know, because take our word for it. That's, and only then will aid be brought to the Gaza Strip, suggesting that they know that it's being kept from the Gaza Strip by now, since the last few months. They even claim, point eight, that they're going to use the UN and Red Crescent and everything else. Well, so far the Rafah crossing has remained closed. Now, number nine is one of my favorites. Gaza will be governed under the temporary transitional governance of a technocratic, apolitical Palestinian committee responsible for delivering the day-to-day running of public services and municipalities for the people of Gaza. Be made up of qualified Palestinians and international experts. Be overseen by a new international transitional body, the Board of Peace, which will be headed and chaired by President Donald J. Trump. Other members will be announced later, including Tony Blair and a few others. That body, then, will set the framework, as if they're neutral. This is no different than the deal of the century or anything else that the Zionists have tried to claim is a two-state solution. In fact, they even cite it here in point nine. Then aid will come in. Then there's the Donald Trump's economic development plan for casinos and everything else that he knows so well. Experts. Who's going to decide who these people are? Number 11, of course, the infamous special economic zone will be established. essentially will be a Jews-only zone for wealthy Israelis and some Americans. But number 13, Hamas and any other factions agreed not to have any role in the governance of Gaza in any form, despite the fact that they were elected to office. They're popular there. They remain popular there. Donald Trump calls this a new Gaza. In other words, they're forcing this committee onto them, claiming to be for peace. New Gaza is a name for it, I guess. Then, the U.S. will work with its Arab and international partners to develop a temporary international stabilization force to deploy in Gaza. The ISF will train and provide support to vetted Palestinian police forces in Gaza. Did I hit that hard enough? Vetted Palestinian. In other words, those who are pro-Zionist, and will consult with Jordan and Egypt, anyone who has extensive experience in this field. That will be the long-term solution, actually, according to the point 15. The promise, then, in point 16 is that Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza. Point 18, and this is hilarious, an interfaith dialogue process will be established based on the values of tolerance and peaceful coexistence. It'll be in the WCC in this, the World Council of Churches. Try to change the mindsets of narratives of Palestinians. They call this self-determination. It's no different than the deal of the century. Of course, it's not what was signed, and you know, recently. That's what was proposed from the American side. Donald Trump makes himself the grand poobah of the transitional force in Gaza, and hence wants the peace prize. Anyone who takes this seriously is a moron. Who decides if Hamas has fully implemented anything? Does anyone believe that Israel can act in good faith here? How is Israel trusted, or the U.S., as an objective arbitrator of the agreement? Even if Hamas objects, they've been a demonized terrorist group. Who's going to listen to them? And of course, it skips over everything about the genocide against the people of Gaza and forgets all about it. Mentions nothing about self-determination, real self-determination. Israel is the, you know, again, for international law, for whatever that's worth, is very little. But that, and just basic morality, is on the Palestinian side. They are illegal occupiers. And who gives the U.S. authority to create the international stabilization force? So this is just another way for the occupation to continue. Nothing is going to change. And it mentions de-radicalization. I know there was someone who wrote recently, is the only people who need to be de-radicalized are the Americans. Now, how is de-radicalization going to be accomplished? Re-education camps? Censorship? Rewriting of the school curriculum? Arresting anyone? Total censorship over everything? Yes. The answer to that is yes. But of course, the Israelis talk about the Arabs as human animals. It doesn't matter. So what a joke this has become. And Donald Trump's huge failure has been in this area, and he thinks it's his success. Israel completely reneged on the Camp David Accords. Supposed to give permit Palestinian self-governance in the West Bank and Gaza within 5 years of 1979, and end the settlements in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, of course, because that was never implemented. The Oslo Accords in 1993, PLO had to kind of give away the shop by saying that they accepted Israel's right to exist. Then, and only then, did the Israeli state recognize them as anything. The only thing that it, that made was the PLO was in the colonial police force. All the settlements continued. Nothing changed. Nothing was ever taken seriously from the Jewish side of things. PLO became a very unpopular organization after that. And who benefited? Hamas. Hamas came into the place of the PLO saying, we're not going to do anything like that. All the military withdrawals, if you remember, the Oslo Peace Accords, they never took place. I think there were about 100,000 settlers in the West Bank. And the Oslo Agreement was signed. Today, as I've said before, they maybe are 700,000. A few of them have been killed by the Iranians and the Houthis, but the whole thing was a trick. It was to get Arafat and the PLO to abandon all that they had fought for. And just to use him as a local police force. Israel did the same thing this very year, on March 18th. Launching surprise airstrikes on Gaza. I think Netanyahu said that it was because Hamas refused to release hostages. We talked about the stages of that agreement. You know, that never occurred. Israel killed more than 400 people in the initial onslaught. Injured more than 500. In that overnight raid a few months ago. How can anyone possibly trust them or the Americans or anyone else? But, you know, there's nothing new here. This is Zionism. Now, what was really signed, and this is, it is much shorter. And Donald Trump kind of, you know, this is a revision of the 20 points. It seems to put all the power at the behest of the Israeli government, which of course is ridiculous. They're doing this because they're not winning. And only then, of course, all military operations will cease. Then full entry of humanitarian aid and relief is determined in the proposal. As if this is something can be negotiated. You know, sanctions never included basic necessities in the past, but now it does. The IDF will withdraw so long as Hamas fully implements the agreement, whatever that might mean. Then the hostages will be returned. The only thing they really care about with these hostages, and in Section 5 of what was actually signed, the document that was really signed, was what the hostages may have said to them. They say this very clearly. It starts, as soon as the IDF completes the withdrawal, Hamas will commence investigating the status of the hostages and collect all information pertaining to them. Hamas will provide feedback on its findings through the information sharing mechanism under a section below. Israel will provide information on the Palestinian prisoners and detainees from the Gaza Strip held in Israel. Is it possible that some of these hostages know things about the Israeli state, about Judaism? They want to know about it. So it's a very similar thing. You know, even with dead hostages, they should be, you know, they've been buried for a while now. They need to be exhumed and then sent to, somehow brought back to Israel proper. And there's a list of Palestinian prisoners that they're going to allegedly release. Then, finally, it says a task force will be formed of representatives from the U.S., Qatar, Egypt, Turkey, and other countries agreed upon by the parties to follow up on the implementation with the two sides and coordinate with them. Now, that last one, that number six, is why it's a scam and why it can't hold. Israel's trying to act like it's the victorious party. It is not. It is not the dominant party. It doesn't know how to function as a defeated party, though. The U.S. has no right to do any of this. In both of these versions, the U.S. claims the right to create this militia with Arab states to take control of Gaza. The truth is that Israel is so overstretched. It's fighting on five fronts, as I said, Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, the West Bank, and, of course, Israel itself. The country is deeply divided. Those divisions are severe. Hamas and Iran have won this war. Don't forget what we talked about with the exchange of missiles with Iran, the so-called 12-day war. The military targets that the Iranians destroyed were everything. They flattened the infrastructure of the country. The Israeli Pentagon, the Kyria Military Intelligence Complex, the Weizmann Institute of Science, which is a big, you know, their nuclear weapons program is there, destroyed that entirely. I've seen pictures of it. It's on fire. The Amman Military Intelligence Headquarters. Those are the elite spying units like Unit 8200 and Unit 504. All the branches of the Israeli Ministry of Interior Affairs, responsible for military coordination. The Mossad's operational headquarters have been destroyed. Israel's most protected airbase, Nevatim. And the Tel Nof airbase, too. Also the Ben-Gurion Airport. And actually most of Israeli airports have been knocked out of commission, for the most part. The command and control centers of the Israeli military and Mossad, both in Tel Aviv and Hafia. They destroyed the oil refinery in Hafia, the Bazan refinery, which is Israel's largest fuel processing center. The power station at Ashdod, which is their biggest power station, totally destroyed by the Iranian. The Rafael Advanced Defense Systems complex north of Hafia. This was their military-industrial complex, their R&D buildings. This is where a lot of Israeli hardware comes from. That was knocked out of commission. The Kiryat Gat Industrial Zone. That's where their high-tech stuff comes from, microprocessor and high-tech military production. The Gavgam Negev Advanced Technologies Park, near Beth Sheba. That has all their cyber warfare, AI, military tech stuff. This has all been destroyed. And that's just the military targets. If you remember, Netanyahu banned any pictures or videos of what Israel looked like after the Iranian attacks. The press simply made up stories about it. Trump made up stories about it. It didn't take long for me to find out what the truth was. So for the Israelis to talk like they're victorious, this is why this thing is a ridiculous scam. It's a ridiculous scam. But I remember what I said. It was October 15th, 2023. I laid it out for everybody about what Gaza really is. You're talking about thousands of young men risking death, mutilation, or worse, an Israeli prison. Sure to hell is not because Israel permitted it, but it's because Gaza itself is already on the verge of dissolution, physically, mentally. They were starving. Palestinians in Gaza had nothing before that invasion. No one in the world is forced to live as they do. The border has been sealed for a long time. Gazans live under a state of deprivation that only Israel can get away with. Millions of Palestinians were caged in Gaza and have zero hope for the future. They've been under siege for 20 years, which limits food and barely above starvation levels, blocks necessities like medicine, building materials, energy, and even soap. The Gaza Strip was virtually uninhabitable before October 2023. Its land was officially declared by the UN too contaminated to sustain life. Even fishing was out of the question because the Israeli Navy fires on fishing boats. Israel stole a lot of their agricultural land anyway, in this tiny little area. Wanted to create a buffer zone, they said. And not just on land, they're stealing all their gas off the coast of Gaza. By the way, gas that the Israeli Supreme Court once ruled belonged to the Palestinians. Hence, you might see why Netanyahu wanted to clip the Supreme Court, what caused all the problems in Israel prior to the war. This is why Palestinians voted for Hamas in 2006. It still has a good reputation for honesty, strict morality. They wanted international involvement. But that was enough to get them labeled a terrorist entity, despite the fact that the only terrorists were the West and the regime. Unemployment was through the roof. There was no, you know, you couldn't go to Israel for work. So all they had to do was protest. Israel snipers shot hundreds of civilians, including medics and journalists. Crimes that the Western media ignored. This is prior to the war. This is long before this war began. This is common practice. This is not Netanyahu. This has been long-standing Israeli and Zionist policy. I think I mentioned before that there was a bill promoted by the Itamar Ben-Gvir. I don't know if it passed. I think it did. That granted complete immunity for soldiers and policemen to shoot Palestinians or foreigners. In other words, it's a license to kill. So what choice do they have? And they know they're being called human animals and everything else by people in government, like Yoav Gallant and so many others. Well, the blood libel that they dusted off against the Palestinians, this nonsense. It was Gior Ilan, the former Israeli general, who said that Israel must create an unprecedented humanitarian disaster in Gaza. This is policy. None of this was accidental. When the Israelis hit a hospital, that's what they need. They're terrorizing civilians. That was the entire point of the invasion of Lebanon. That didn't take much. 5 miles, maybe? No, but they destroyed all the hospitals in the area. They attacked every UN station. They killed a lot of UN workers. War crimes are taking place by design. These aren't just crimes. It's just like this is what they do. The point is to murder civilians and terrorize the population into submission. And there's nothing new about it. Jews are not a normal group of people. And Israel's not a normal country. It could never be. But, as we know, Hamas is not going to be defeated. Gaza militants shattered in one raid the myth of the invincibility of Israel, of the Israeli, of the IDF, they enjoyed maybe since the 67 war. Something that may destroy Netanyahu's career, besides all of the crimes, all concerning the media manipulation, by the way. His crimes that he's going to, might go to jail for, all have to do with him going to his friends in major newspapers and movie production and saying that whenever I come up, paint me in the most wonderful light possible. That's why he was on trial. Overwhelmingly, those are the crimes. There's a whole bunch of others, but those are the dominant ones. The population, it isn't going to happen. Resettling Gaza is not going to happen. Turning Gaza into a big casino, it's not going to happen. Defeating Hezbollah, it isn't going to happen. Defeating Hamas is not going to happen. Hezbollah has defeated Israel in the past, in 2000, 2002. The first things that when this Al-Aqsa flood operation broke out, October 7th, the first thing that Hezbollah did was call for a general mobilization. That was the point of it. It's unfortunate that the UAE has been so absolutely perverted. We know what they are. We know what Dubai is, the big Jewish city. I think that's a I have a whole section on this in the future, but Dubai is going to be the place where a lot of Jews go as the war continues to go south. And Abu Dhabi too, to some extent, but Dubai. You can't even call the UAE an Arab state, a Muslim state anymore. But where's the popularity going to go? As I said before, people mentioned that when you the big oil sheikdoms, the UAE, Oman, etc., Kuwait, everything is paid for by the oil money. There's no taxes. There's no healthcare costs. University right up to the doctoral degree. Everything is paid for through oil. Problem is, that only applies to citizens. Well, in the United Arab Emirates, only 11% of the population are citizens. It's a bit higher in Saudi Arabia. It's like 40% of the population there. That means you have this real oligarchy. You have this 11% that gets everything for the oil. Then underneath them is this serf class, mostly Palestinians. Sometimes they come from Indonesia, maybe even Indians. 11% of the population are citizens. In other words, they require labor to be brought in from elsewhere so they could do nothing. You guys have noticed that Dubai, all of a sudden, maybe not all of a sudden, last few years, has become the place to go for the wealthy. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. We'll have a separate talk on that and as to why. We all know why. But is that going to last? The U.S. is not prepared for any kind of attack on these guerrillas, especially as far as Lebanon is concerned. Thanks to American interference, who has come to the table? Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, of course, Syria, Iraq, Sudan, Libya, they've been reduced to fourth world status. Of course, what's the purpose of all of this? Israel, its purpose has been to keep her rivals in poverty and ignorance. But it's a struggle for them. Some of these soldiers really do have consciences. The war simply can't continue, physically can't continue. Soldiers are not showing up to their posts. Israel, for the first time, is in trouble. It doesn't really matter. The U.S. is military unprepared to deal with anything. And it can't give too much more than what's going to happen to Taiwan. Or Russia, Ukraine. U.S. is incapable of dealing with Russia, Iran, or China. The Gaza conflict then presses the American empire even further beyond its capabilities. And none of that serves Israeli interests. And all they have right now is media manipulation, media domination, and media control. And right now, that's falling apart. It's absolutely extraordinary. I can't believe I'm living in this day. I can't believe Netanyahu screwed up this badly. Where I can say, being anti-Zionist is mainstream. I can't believe it. It's. I remember, even mentioning it was you get in a lot of trouble for it. I did. I know it personally. I know it from firsthand experience. Now they're trying to use, liberal reasons for the reasons why, but it doesn't matter what the reasons why are. They certainly have unified many different groups. Israel right now, militarily, economically, and infrastructurally, is a total disaster area. The Rothschilds had better step up. BlackRock and Fink better step up and pay for all this to be rebuilt very and soon. I think the minute they do it, the Iranians will hit it again. The Houthis will hit it again. If you're fighting a war on four or five fronts even, with men who don't want to go to war anymore, it's a wonderful time to be alive. And it's nothing, you know, the suffering of the Gazans or anyone else, Ukrainians, millions of Ukrainians dead. I'm not trying to gloss over that, but now to be anti-Zionist is now mainstream. I can't believe I'm living in this society. It's shocking. Yes, the media still does what it does, but no one really listens to it. But even the New York Times, Haaretz has always been bad, you know, as far as the Israeli military was concerned. Now they're even worse. They criticize everything. All these groups that I've mentioned before, they're coming out with all of these stories and things that all talk to deserters, talking about inventing videos, all this stuff. This is all becoming mainstream stuff. This isn't just stuff we used to have in the spotlight. That's stuff that used to be just in the spotlight, newspaper from DC, now is on everyone's mind. And we know that there's a connection between this and why Charlie Kirk, who I never listened to a day in my life, was killed. I believe Candace Owen in that respect. I like these neocons dealing with a lot of this stuff, but people are talking about it. Being bullied by the Israelis. Being bullied by Jews. Yeah. It's. I never thought I'd live to see the day. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.